Yo, what's good? Laugh Now, Die Later, the best, the rawest, the littest, the craziest, the worst podcast in the world, but most importantly, the rawest podcast in the world because it's recorded on a phone. Today we got, I think one of the coolest, dynamics that I've had on this show, a couple that plays and dance together, but they're also you guys have a cool band together, but you guys are also a separate good band. And then also I don't know, this might sound weird, but you guys are both in really good bands and uniquely aesthetically bands. I don't know if that plays a role in we're on the same level, you know what I mean, in life or whatever.
Yeah, I think we have very similar tastes, very similar interests, and we both have the same goals.
What's your goal? Before we get into it, it's Tony and KT from Pseudo Youth, Gun, People Sample, Ad Voids, The Freakies, and Life Instruction.
That's right.
What a crazy,
It's a really nutty spectrum of bands that we've both played in.
Ad Voids fucking rules. I love the People Sample. That's one of my favorite, I love that. I love People Sample more than Gun. And even when Gun came out, I remember everybody was I remember it was a big deal.
Yeah, that was I think when we started that band, I think we had a lot to prove. I think mainly we were trying to prove that there were still good bands left in Orange County.
Okay.
We were still trying to prove, we were also trying to, I think we all just had beef with the bands that we had just quit to. And I think we were trying to show all of the other bands that we had played in that we could pop off way better and harder, because I feel like we all had a lot to do, and to ourselves and to I guess our ops. I guess the band was just founded upon our love for Orange County hardcore, our passion for Orange County from where we're from, and our passion for trying to show people that it was more than, rich kids and Nazis.
Interesting, okay.
Because I feel like at that time, Orange County, 2014 to 2018, was really complicated. At that period of time, I think the Capital H hardcore scene, in Fullerton at Program Skate Shop, I think that scene was really popping off, but the punk side of Orange County was really confused and was really swallowed up by a lot of beef. I think you had
I remember.
Yeah.
I wasn't even directly in the scene, and I remember
there was so much weird shit. I mean, through all of that, there were bands and there were people that were holding it down for Orange County that were just did an amazing job. And if it wasn't for them, I feel like we wouldn't have had really much of a scene. Kevin Lopez from Prisión Postuma.
Shout out Kevin. Prisión Postuma was one of my favorite bands of all time.
Me too. Yeah. They fucking rule, and they've always been one of my favorites in Orange County. I think in that period of time, for the younger heads like myself at that time, there weren't a lot of younger bands that were popping off, and a lot of people that were in those bands were always beefing with each other. They were always they couldn't get it fucking right or whatever, and they were always butting heads, and there's so much fucking drama.
Wow.
And there's also a big problem with Nazis in the scene.
Orange County in general,
unfortunately, yeah. So it was always something that we were trying to prove. There was a point in time where the earlier bands I was in were they were basically yo, we're not going to say we're from Orange County. We're going to say we're from LA. And I'm none of us are from fucking LA. Yeah, we're from Huntington Beach, Costa Mesa, the central OC, beach cities. And the biggest reason why was because there would be all these Nazi kids that would pull up. Do you guys remember that? Table Ladies. 2015 to 2018, there was just this huge resurgence of just
that's scary.
Weird teenage white power bands. It was fucking crazy. It was they didn't have any venues to play at, but they would post up at the park and shit.
Whoa.
And then there would be huge fights. All these street punk kids would pull up and they'd fucking fight them. And I think kids ended up getting stabbed and shit. It was insane. And there was that spot, Table 87 in Anaheim. I think they had one one really sketchy show where like a bunch of these bands were able to get on and play, and it ended up in this like huge brawl and like a bunch of, weren't you at that show?
I was at that show too. Yeah.
Yeah, like somebody ended up getting stabbed. And,
yeah,
like,
it was
a fucking mess,
weird
dude.
Time, yeah.
It was a really weird time. At the same time, like in Santa Ana, you had like the La Rinconada scene, which was really
cool. Yeah.
And you know, like all of our early bands had played there. The Freakies played that.
I saw like Hank Wood and the Hammerheads there. I think yeah, through that show.
Nason right? booked that show. Nason and I helped. That show. Yeah, there was a ton of cool shows there. But I think that had kind of left a really bad taste in our mouths, and we were just like, "Fuck it, we're just gonna be a band from Orange County, and like whatever hate we get, like." We get, but like we're just trying to prove to people that there's more than just like rich kids and Nazis in Orange County, and that people can go hard and play hard, you know. So that was how Guns started, essentially.
I mean, it felt more like that's crazy that you're saying all that, because like I mean, from the outsider point of view, I just remember like the homie sending me a screenshot. I can actually remember like clearly be on the bus, like going on the bus stop. He's like, "Yo, there's this man called Gun." And then, like, they look sick. Like album cover is sick. And I remember listening to it. And I think up to that point, well, I was listening to hella hardcore at the time. So everything was, like, aggressive. And even the punk that I listened to was, like aggressive. So I remember listening to it. I was like, "Oh, this sounds so effortlessly." Just very, like, it's almost like, you know, he's like, I mean, not in a bad way. Yeah. Like, it's very, like, no, that, like people's tempo is also very, it sounds like you're not even, like, mad. It sounds more like you're lit. You know, you're just like, and like sounds like you're just
we're very indeed very lit. Like,
you know what I mean? It just So I think that's what makes Guns special at the time. Just like very effortlessly, and then like, you know, the I don't know, just kind of chill, more chill punk. You know what I mean? Like in a way,
we were very chill. I think we had. I think. Well, I mean, our favorite. I think our biggest influences were what? Sublime and RKL. We rode very hard for Sublime back then. There weren't a whole lot of Sublime fans back then. No. I think it was still pretty hated.
Yeah.
Well, Sublime thrives in South Central.
Oh,
I'm from South Central LA, so like everybody loves Sublime.
Hell yeah.
If you're from Long Beach, Orange County, South Central, I mean, you get the vibe.
Sublime and like for some reason growing up Social Distortion.
Oh yeah. Geez.
Like I don't know why, like
Social D, baby.
It was like, you
that's
know, like
that's James's favorite.
Yeah.
James from Gun, bass player, he loves Social Distortion. Mm-hmm. That's his favorite.
Is the Gun the same lineup?
Gun's been the same lineup since it started. It's Shane on vocals and Nason on drums. I play guitar, James plays bass. Nason and James play in a band together called SoCal's Parishioners with our buddy Andrew, who originally played in a band called Not Shit.
Yeah.
Those guys fucking rule. Heavy Social D influences
there. Yeah. But let's take it back. Let's talk about right both back. Of your childhoods. You guys kind of, you said grew up similar, so let's talk about that. How was it?
We grew up in pretty
broken homes, I'd say.
Describe broken. What's your type of broken?
I'd say a lot of domestic, like violence kind of thing. A lot of domestic abuse. We grew up with like really shitty dads.
Yeah. very similar sounding dads, but yeah, my dad passed away, but, I don't know, a lot of just crazy, like physical verbal abuse, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny to say that like we both kind of came from the suburbs.
Yeah.
You know, we came from middle-class families.
Like violence behind closed doors.
Yeah,
violence
exactly,
behind closed
yeah.
doors. And that's what like a lot of people don't realize. It's crazy enough, a lot of people don't know this, but Kiana and I, both of our parents were both in law enforcement.
Yeah.
Both cops.
Which is, like, crazy.
I'm glad you're open about it. Because I know lot of punks were like, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm like, that's a cop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you're a cop. So
yeah,
no,
yeah, exactly. Well, some people don't understand that, you know. Some people are just like, assume, like, oh, like,
you're. But they're right to assume that,
yeah,
I mean, like, honestly.
But it's just like.
Man. I mean, I'm not going to be like, yo, your dad's a cop. You know,
yeah,
I'd be
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't fuck with you. You know what I mean? It's like,
I mean, the thing is like, it's pretty known, like, amongst, like, my social circle.
Yeah.
I'm pretty open about it because it's just like, I don't know, man, that's like my dad, not me. I mean,
yeah,
same thing with you. And,
yeah,
and honestly, like, growing up, like, I think, like, it's weird because, like, not a lot of punks, like, not a lot of kids with cop parents, I feel like, grow up to be punks. I feel like they
that's
grow
true.
Up to be, like, weird bootlickers or like, absolutely, weird, like
normal people.
Yeah.
Normal people, yeah. But There's also a crazy statistic that, like 1 in 3...
Yeah, like, 30% of, like, cops are, like, domestically, like, just abusing their spouses and or family. Yeah. It's just, like, crazy. Like, trauma that's, like, brought home from work, and they just, like, I don't know.
How about, I'm curious. I've never asked this question, but I always thought, how about women cops? Like,
my mom's a cop.
Oh, your mom's a cop.
She's the opposite. My mom is very different. Both my parents. Okay. And my stepdad.
Oh, my God.
It's a crazy cop family.
My stepdad used to be pretty fucked up and insane, but he's chilled out over the years. But, like, yeah, it's, but that's, my mom is different. Like, I knew a lot of cops growing up because of, like, having so many in the family. And a lot of the lady cops are just as fucked up. They could also be very crazy.
There's a lot of experiences I had growing up where, like, my dad would just, like come home and, like, one, like, there'd just be crazy arguments in the house. Because, like, he's going out there and, like, he's taking part in all this fucking crazy shit. God knows fucking what, honestly. And then he comes home and it's just, like, he's all fucking...
riled up,
and then it's just like it's arguments, a lot of arguments in our households growing up.
Wait, there was domestic abuse between your parents, but they were both cops.
Yeah.
Oh,
like my mom was a stay at home.
My
dad used to like I walked in on him like choking my mom once, like just like crazy shit. But then
did the other cops know?
So my mom like one time came into work with, like, bruises all over her body, and, like, her friend was like, yo, we need to take pictures of this, like, this is really fucked up, and, like, she wanted to, like, she felt like she couldn't say something because, like, she didn't want my dad to lose her job and stuff. I think also for, like, my sake, didn't want me to, like, I was really little, but she didn't want me to be, like, I don't know that my dad was this crazy fucked up person, even though it's, like, they got divorced, and then my parents had 50-50 custody of me, so it's like that's all I grew up with until my dad died, like, was just like him being fucking crazy. Like, I guess, like, even I found out a couple years ago, like, because he was also so mean to my stepmom as well, and just like he would always just say like the most fucked up shit. But then, like, finding out that, like, he got the cops called on him and shit like that, and I'm he's a cop, but it's like he didn't lose his job or, like, anything. Like,
that's what,
like,
I was wondering.
Well, yeah, it's
what
crazy.
What we've learned is, like, a lot of those, like, a lot of the corruption and stuff that, like, you hear about, and, like, a lot of the, like, stuff you hear about, like, cops, like, kind of, like, looking after each other in, like, the most fucked up, like, scenarios, like, I see it as very true.
Yeah.
And
that's, being a cop is a game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, no. It totally is.
And that's something that, like, that's a belief that, like, we've had growing up is that, you know, it's like people are always like, well, you probably fuck with cops because your parents are cops. And it's like, actually, man, it's the fucking complete opposite.
Yeah, I have a personal experience.
So. Yeah,
I see it. My dad, when he's a cop.
Straight up. And it's like, so basically, like, yeah, my, both of our relationships with our parents is a little, it's a little crazy per se, but, you know.
How about now that you guys are, like, older and you're punk?
So, your mom.
I've always been cool with my mom, like, but I was also, like, a very, like, chill kid. I was not, like, a problem child. And she was never very, like, she was always working. So I didn't really, like, see a whole lot of her growing up. But, like, we're chill. Like, we,
How about, like, bringing friends that are, like...
Yeah.
Around, like, like, I don't know, like, anarchy sign or something.
I think now, like...
Is your dad still alive? Funny.
Yeah, my dad's still alive. My dad, it's actually, my dad and I, for, like, a really long time, butted heads. I mean, like, still to this day, you bring up politics, you bring up policing, you bring up, like, any of that. He brings up his job. It's, like, 80, 90% chance we're gonna butt heads. And, like, when I was younger, I was a lot more fiery, and so was he. Because my dad had me when he was really young. He was, like, 17, 18 years old, which is, like, he had no money, no job. That's kind of why I assume he became a cop in the first place, was to support my family. But, like, growing – so I have a really young dad, and we would just butt heads like crazy, like, fiery. Like, I'd be trying to go to shows and stuff. I'd be like, hey – I remember GAG and NASA Space Universe played Long Beach in 2016, 2017. It was like the third time GAG had come out, and they were playing like a garage. I remember being like, I'd school, and I was like, hey, I'm going to Long Beach tonight. It's a Saturday, so normally he would like let me go places because it was a weekend, you know. And like, where's it at? I'm like, it's in Long Beach. I'm going with my buddies, you know, I'll get a ride home, like, good time, I'll be back in time, and everything. And he's just like, Long Beach? Fuck that place. Like, fuck, that's where all the fucking gangs are. You know, that's where, you know, that place is a shithole, you're not going. I'm like, bro, I'm like going to East 7th Street, like, to the fucking, next to the Greyhound station, like, to go see fucking The Flex and shit. Like,
yeah.
This is fucking
Long Beach.
Yeah, this is Long Beach. Yeah. Like, chill. And just like crazy fights, you know. That was the one and only time like I really like went, I like threw down with my dad.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I was about to say, yeah. Like, since there's domestic violence with your.
I mean, it was the first time I swung back as a kid. I swung back. I was like 16, 17. I was like, you can't fucking tell me anything.
And then you got a shot.
No, I actually got concussed.
Dang, he fucked you up?
Yeah, he fucked me up, man. And that was kind of like. That was like, I was 18, so like wasn't really anything I can do.
Do you still talk to him?
You know, my dad and I actually still talk, and we had years and years of like things like that going back and forth. I think overall, over like years and years of just like not really being around my family, and you know, honestly, like growing up, my friends were my family. I kind of like developed like something where I was like, damn, like. I remember telling him one time, like, yo, like, I high key just want to like have like a relationship with my father, and I want
your dad's
like,
on death, so you want to
yeah
know your dad.
I want to know my dad, and like, cause there's like 10-15 years where we just butted heads like every day, whether it was like homework, whether it was like going out places, whether it was like anything. So we always. You know, we never got along until finally I think we both, like, realized one day, like, yo, I don't give a fuck about, he basically was like, yo, I don't give a fuck about what you believe in or what you think is cool. Like, you're my son and everything. And if you, you know, if you want to, if you hate me for, like, what I do, you know, I can't stop you. But, you know, I still want to have a relationship with you. So I wouldn't say that we're, like, super tight, but we're, you know, we're cordial and shit. Like, I think like Kiana and I got engaged earlier this year, and or I guess a couple months ago, and he was like really stoked. He gets really stoked on like
normal shit.
Yeah, he gets stoked on normal shit. Like he's stoked on Gun despite like the shirt is a fucking pot leaf, and then like we got like songs about like cops and shit that Shane. About? Dude, I don't know. I think he's just stoked that, like...
It's called Gun.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think he's, like... I think he just fucks with, like... Because I think at a point in time, he was, like, a young... Like, he was, like, 17, 18 in the 90s. And, like, he grew up with, like, Pennywise and shit. That's, like, cop punk, though. Pennywise, like, face to face. So he sees, like, my shit, and he's, like, oh, it's just, like, Pennywise. Like...
Okay.
So... I don't know. He's like, he's only been to like one of my shows, but
I mean, that shows the power of Gun and what I said earlier. Like, yeah. Gun aesthetically is very like pleasing.
Yeah.
So I could see him being like,
oh, it's very neutral.
This just looks cool. You know what I mean? Which is cool. That even your dad a cop.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, this kind of sick. Nah, straight up. I think he gets a lot of like encouragement from my uncle too. Cause my uncle grew up a punk.
Oh, okay.
His brother. And that was kind of like my father. My uncle was like, my uncle was basically my dad. He like got me into skateboarding. He got me into like punk music. Like, that gear over there in the corner, that Marshall JCM 900 head, that's his from when he used to play. He was an SLC punk in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
In Salt Lake City, and like toured with like Lagwagon and like Strung Out and shit. Yeah. And he gave me all that shit. So I had a dad that I didn't really have a relationship with, but I also had like an uncle who was like that, like kind of nurtured me.
Yeah, but come over here, Devin.
Yeah, he goes to our shows all the time. He's actually Gun's biggest fan. Yeah.
And how about you? Does your mom like your band's at?
She's very supportive. Like, I remember like the first time I had sent her some recording, she was like crying, and she's like, "I'm so proud of you!" Like, very excited.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's like she always calls it, like, she tells everyone I'm in screamo bands, which is, like,
yeah, really, screamo, like, screamo like, bands.
Sick. But she's very supportive. I think she saw my band, like, once, saw Freakies, like, years ago. But
yeah, bro. The parents are like, yeah. Yeah, we went to a show like 5 years ago. It's like, bro, I wasn't even popping off.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
it's like six people in the crowd. Yeah, I'm like, it's just fucked up because it's like, damn, like my uncle pulled up to like one of Pseudo Youth's like worst shows. It was like a Tuesday night, like 9-band local bill at like a
yeah, that was
like
the worst show.
Tiki bar for like 8 people. Yeah. And he, like, takes a video, and, like, we're playing, and it's just, like, one person in the crowd, and it's just, like,
she's, like, doing
some lady just, like, doing, like, some like... drunk punk shit. And, like, she sends it to, the like, the family group chat, and I was just like, no. Fuck, dude, I'm gonna kill myself.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was rough.
I mean, like, I feel like the Freakies is, like, very, like, what's the word, like... freaky, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
So, like, I can't imagine your mom being, freaky. Like, your mom being, like, oh, well, I'm gonna go see this punk band instead of hearing, like... like something that sounds like Lagwagon or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like some crazy, like,
yeah.
Just like weird, like,
yeah.
Punk,
you know? Totally. Well, my mom's like, she has like no knowledge of punk music at all. So I think, like, for her, she's just like,
this
yeah,
is punk.
This is
yeah.
Screamo.
Yeah,
this is cool.
Yeah, screamo music.
But yeah.
How about your dad or your stepdad?
My stepdad, he's actually, you know, like, I like fucking hated him when I was a kid.
You know,
we, like,
what,
hate each other,
you know,
but
what?
He's the reason why I got into this shit.
He's like, the one who showed you AC/DC.
He showed me,
oh.
Yeah. It was never punk, but he was always like he was like trying to bond with me. I remember him buying Guitar Hero and was like, yeah, this is rock and roll. Like,
honestly,
showed me AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, all that shit.
Yeah,
and it like totally changed my world. Black Sabbath, like,
no, that's what changed my world was,
yeah.
Guitar Hero. Guitar,
yeah,
Hero changed my shit.
How I, yeah, in Tony Hawk is how I like found punk as a like young kid.
Yeah,
I was always like, damn, like very drawn to it. But
so they were, sorry.
No, you're good.
Your parents were like, or your mom at least was very like always supportive no matter what.
Yeah, always supportive. I think she was just like, as long as you're not like fucking your life up, like that's cool. Like she was always like, because I'm an artist too.
Oh, okay.
She was always very like supportive of that. Always trying to like, I don't know, help me out with that, whatever I needed with art. She was always like, you know, there.
Wow.
To help
so
me.
It's like your mom is like a cop, and you don't. Love your mom as a person,
yeah,
but like,
yeah.
She's a parent.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
she's,
like, she's like,
same
she's
thing
a,
with my dad.
Yeah, like, she's a great parent, but like, yeah, I'm like, it always sucks being like, man, that she was a cop. Like, that's crazy. And like, I think,
yeah,
I think she retired like a while ago. And I think as time goes on, like, after retiring, she kind of like, sort of, I don't know, like, her view, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she was like, yeah, always chill, but like, I think her views are changing a lot too. Like, I feel like she's more like, understanding of why I hate cops or like stuff like that. But my stepdad is like the opposite. My stepdad,
yeah,
like,
so
your stepdad's
he's like,
a,
yeah,
fucking, he's crazy, dude.
He's crazy.
Yeah,
Tucker
I mean,
Carlson,
like people
so scary.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But people always say that, like, I don't know, it's like, it's crazy. Like, I hate using the word like triggered or whatever, but like people get really bent out of shape like hearing like crazy like shit, like when Republican ass people like and conservative people like say like insane like shit, like whether it be like about like immigration or like gay marriage or like trans rights and shit, like I'll see people like just get super bent out of shape about like things those people say, and it's like, dude, I gotta like listen to this shit,
yeah,
all
like,
day,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
and I can't, and I'm outnumbered, bro.
Yeah.
Like I pull up to this family function and shit,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I already have a reputation with this family for just like causing drama, so
yeah.
They're already ready to go with me.
Yeah,
they're just,
yeah,
trigger you.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're ready to like. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They'll say the craziest shit around you, and like it's like they're just ready to fucking battle you at any moment. So it's like that kind of taught me how to like bite my tongue a bit. You know,
okay.
It kind of taught me how to just like, I don't know, not let it get to me as much.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
Because that shit was fucking mad infuriating.
Dude, my family's like kind of like not smart, like, and no diss, like they're Mexican immigrants,
mm-hmm.
So they don't know too much.
Yeah,
so like every time it's funny because they're like, one time my mom's like, my I was like, so, oh yeah, because my dad's like a metalhead, like, you know, like,
yeah,
yeah,
like the corny metalhead, you know what I mean? Like I love my dad, but he's like the most like,
mm-hmm.
Long hair, like you gotta have long hair, like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
The like you're a poser type person, so
yeah.
He's like, I remember once he's like oh, your dad smokes weed. Like, you know, the, like that effect. She asked me something. I'm like, my dad does not smoke weed. And she's like, well, your dad's a metalhead.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're a metal, you have to smoke weed. It's just shit like that where it's like you're fucking
weird.
You're like, it's not even offending me. It's just like, we're not even going to get started. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, straight up.
I had like a vegan phase where I was like, yo, like Earth Crisis is like vegan, right? I was like, super like, oh, this is the coolest thing.
That's your vibe.
Yeah.
No, and then I saw the story before. I was like, my grandma was like, I'm like, oh, what'd you think about veganism? She's like, what do you mean, like, not have kids? I'm like, no, like, veganism. She's like, I don't know what the fuck that is. Like, she thought being vegan was like being like having a vasectomy or something.
Yeah.
Whoa.
She did not even know.
It's like two different types of things.
She's like, being vegan is like, I don't know. She thought, I was like, I don't know. I'm surprised you're a 6-year-old woman who doesn't know what veganism is.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was like, I thought it was funny.
That is very funny.
So what was like you being teenagers, like once you're like out, you know, going to shows and your parents are like, you can't go out. Oh, I mean, you said your dad was like,
he was a pain in the ass, but like after a while, like that was like, there was a couple, like I think soon after that, he fucked me up pretty good that time. I think he put my head in, like dented the, we had like a double decker washer dryer, and I remember he pushed me against the wall, like after I don't know why, but I was like I'm in my head, like when he's like, you're not going to the show, I was like, I immediately just swung and I got him, and then like he just like knee-jerk reaction just like, because my dad's like a buff dude, he's like, he
you're
was kind scary.
Of husky built, so I'm assuming your dad
my
is
dad
like...
is built like a fucking football player, just okay. like me. I so it's like he fucking pushed me into this fucking washing machine, like my head just went boom and dented the dryer door.
Oh my God.
So I wasn't going anywhere that night, but the like soon after, like I think he just stop giving a shit. He actually like he started going to Brazil a lot, and he like that's a funny transition, but he started going to Brazil, and he like met his wife out there, and like he like learned like fluent Portuguese. He's just like,
you were like, Brazilian stepmom. I was like,
literally like the stereotype like conservative white cop meets like a South American woman.
Meets a foreign woman.
Yeah, literally. So he just like, he just spent the next like 5-6 years just like going back and forth Brazil. He's just like living in Brazil and shit. Just like,
like
retired and just like was just like fucked off and moved to Brazil.
How about your mom now? What does she think?
My mom, so like my mom and my dad have like no like no relationship, but my mom is chill as hell.
Is she like gunning?
Yeah, she fucks with all that. She's like, it's like not
chain reaction.
Yeah, she's going to chain reaction show. Yeah, if you pull up, I'll let you see. She's crazy in her own way. She's like never been down with any of it. Like, she's like, it's funny. She's like, well, she's immigrated here when she was like a kid from Mexico.
You're half Mexican?
I'm half Mexican, believe it or not.
That's wild.
But like white Mexican, like Spanish Mexican.
Did you speak Spanish?
Nah, man.
Your mom's like Mexican.
Yeah, mom's Mexican.
Like,
she's
fully
from
Mexican.
She's from Querétaro.
Oh, that's so random.
So random. Yeah, so it's like, she's kind of like,
I'm glad you told me, because I pull up to a show, I'm like, oh, this is my mom. I'm like,
yeah, what the fuck? Like, But I mean, she's like Spanish Mexican. She's like white, but she's like, no, she speaks like fluent Spanish. Like her mom, like her sister, and like her mom, or like my grandma. Like my mama, and like my grandma on that side is like brown. Like there's like family, like sisters that she had that don't even look like her sisters. It's like, it's a weird like array of complexion in that family, because she married my grandpa is like from America, and my grandma is from Querétaro, and I guess like they just lived out there.
Like your grandpa just lived in Querétaro.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. They live back.
Before.
Like,
so random.
Yeah, I know. Really random. And so, but no, my mom's cool. Like, she's chill. Yeah, she's down with it. She's like, she doesn't understand it, but like, she's just happy that I'm not. Like,
yeah. Same like my mom. Just happy that we're.
Yeah, just happy we're not like addicted to drugs or like, you know, just like doing some.
Fucking up
our lives and shit.
She doesn't see Field of Flames. She doesn't see Magic too.
She's gonna be like, this is crazy. She's never been to anything like that before.
Oh, this is your first show?
This is her first show.
Oh, it's gonna be hardcore dancing at her first show. Yeah. Oh, it's gonna be like,
there's gonna be some karate going and everything. Man. Dude, yeah, my dad went to a show. The only show he's ever been to, I was like flexing kind of hard. I was like making sure, like,
hey, it's Kaylee Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
A crazy show pop off for him to come to, because he's like, I want to see your band, you know, me and your Uncle Dan, we want to see a show. And I was like, okay, cool. We ended up playing with Youth of Today a couple years ago. Yeah, and so it's like perfect show. Like,
it was lineup Youth of Today.
It was Youth of Today, Wise, and yeah, I think it was just us, Wise, and Youth of Today.
It's hard.
It was a really sick lineup and a really sick show. But like my dad fucking had to make my dad change, because he's like wearing some wearing some fucking crazy ass like Blue Lives Matter shit. Yeah. I was like, I shouldn't be like
you're gonna get rocked.
I was like, Dad, I was like, yo, you gotta change that shit. She's like, what? Why do I have to? Yeah. And I was like, you're gonna, like, trust me. I'm like, yo, man, like, this isn't like a Pennywise show, bro. But I remember there was kind of like, it was always like this vibe with like my dad. Like, I was always so scared to bring my dad places, because at that moment in time, like, we were cool, quote unquote cool. And so like, I was like, all right, come out, see what I do. And yeah, he pulled up to the show and I made him, luckily we had a fucking shirt that didn't have a pot leaf so he could wear. It's the other design with the guy holding the gun. So he was wearing that. And then he was like, my dad like loves like jujitsu and Joe Rogan, believe it or not. And so like,
believe it or not.
Yeah. And he's like in the back, in the green room, talking to Ray Capo about jiu-jitsu, has no idea who the fuck this guy is. And so they're just like talking about jiu-jitsu for like 30 minutes. And then like Ray Capo is just like, all right, I'll be right back. And then like he went and played and he's like, whoa, that's the dude from the backstage. Yeah.
How about your, was your, like, once you started going to shows and like, I don't know, like, I don't know if you smoke weed or drink or anything, but like, and then she's seen like, oh, my daughter,
at the
my
time,
daughter's smoking pot.
No, oh, well, okay, so before I started, when I was like 14, I started smoking weed, and she caught me like one of the first times I ever smoked weed at my house, and she was just like, oh, you like smoking weed? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, okay, well, like, just make sure like you like do it somewhere where like your stepdad doesn't find out, because like,
was that illegal still at the time?
No, it was not legal.
It was illegal. So it was illegal.
It was legal. Yeah.
It was legal or illegal?
Illegal.
Illegal.
You're breaking the law.
I was breaking the law.
Yeah, I'm surprised that she's not. I'm just gonna have to arrest you.
My mom was like always like she always said whenever she would get like calls for weed or something like on the job, she was always just like, I'm not gonna fucking deal with that. Like,
but also,
she had never smoked weed at the time too.
Cops are never gonna arrest somebody that would arrest their own children. But that's too inconvenient for
them. That'd be funny though.
Yeah.
Like in the name of like Blue Lives Matter, I gotta arrest my own kid.
Dude, I mouthed off to my neighbor one time. My neighbor was like, I forget what, I got into like an altercation with my neighbor, and I told this like lady, I was like, fuck off. I was like 9 years old. And my dad was like, oh, you wanna mouth off? You wanna see what happens to people that mouth off? And he like took me to the fucking jail, and like fucking took me to a tour of like Orange County Jail. And
your dad does not sound fun at all,
dude. He's not. He was not fun. I mean, he is what he is now. He's just like a senile old dude now. But like, dude, back then he was like so scary.
He was terrified. I'm surprised you're just chill. I'm surprised you're not like, I'm pretty sure you're traumatized or like something, but I'm surprised you're not like,
yeah,
you know, maybe on like some like, you know, like just like, yeah, on some like,
I channel it through music.
Yeah. You mean your music's not like, you know, I'm surprised you're not a hardcore kid.
I know, right?
I mean,
I,
no, wait,
I
I'm surprised
time is a hardcore
I'm
kid.
Surprised you're not into like Shattered Realm or something like,
you know, oh
like,
yeah. See, if I, so if my dad, so if I was 17, 18 now, I'd probably be into all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I'd probably be crowd killing fools.
Yeah. I feel the flames. You're going to be like...
Yeah, I'd be killing people.
Windmilling.
But after, like, I think when I started, like, getting into punk, it was, like, mostly, yeah, like, straight-edge hardcore. At the time, I was already vegan. I've been vegan since I was, like 14.
Sick. And you're still vegan?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. So like I think I like kind of gravitated towards that side of things, and also
how was that being vegan? And
it was crazy because I was like, it sucked then.
They didn't have
like,
anything.
Didn't have shit.
No,
yeah.
But even like your family, are they like?
Oh, My mom was always like, cause she's like a fucking chef. That lady cooks best food ever. But she was always like, well, that fucking sucks. But like, I'll try to like make things. Like, she's always just supportive.
She's good now.
She's great now. Like,
she like, we went over yesterday on the way home from camping. We went and stopped by, and she cooked us up some crazy vegan stuff.
Yeah, she's cool now, but she was always really supportive of that. I think it was also because, like, my dad died of, like, colon cancer, which is, like, because he ate just, like...
all that shit.
Just eating steaks every day, bro.
Fucking, like, never. So I think, like, when I was... it freaked me out because I was like, fuck, like, I don't eat, like, very well. Like, I eat the same kind of shit. Like, I eat a lot of meat and stuff. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to, like, go straight vegan or vegetarian at the time.
So you went vegetarian because your dad passed?
Yeah, that's why initially I went vegetarian, was because I was like, I need to like just like change my diet, because like
you were scared into veganism or vegetarian.
Yeah, it was scary. Because like watching, it's like watching like someone go out like that is like the most fucked up. Like, as fucked up as he was, like, I wouldn't wish that upon anyone, man. Like, it was crazy.
So you got like diagnosed with that because of eating too much meat? How long did it take until you passed?
It took it was about like probably a year and a half, 2 years.
So a year and a half, 2 years of just like...
just fucking like hell. Like, he, and also like, he was just like a stubborn fucking cop that like people are like, yo, like, you should be taking like vitamins, you should change your diet, you should be doing this. And he's like, no, like, fuck that. And very, it's just like,
guy.
Very stubborn. And it's like, that killed him ultimately. Like, but it was just like crazy. And then they like put him on like different medications that would fuck with him. Like, he was like so demented. Like, it was crazy at the end.
He was on something else.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just like such a crazy, like flip. Like, he was already like a very aggressive, like, just mean person. And
then they started shooting him full of steroids and shit. Just, yeah.
Went nuts.
Went crazy.
So then I went, yeah, after he passed, I went vegetarian and then vegan shortly after. But yeah, I just always was very interested in that side of hardcore. And then I think at that time too, a lot of the bands, like we were talking about earlier, it was just a lot of straight edge, like beatdown.
Yeah.
Like, hardcore.
That was my shit, like, growing up.
Yeah. Like the scene, cause I grew up in Santa Clarita, and like, it was like, you're either like a street punk kind of kid, or you were just like a straight edge, like,
that was like the only vibes it felt like.
I'm like,
yeah.
Neither,
so yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, of course I was like, oh dude, like, fuck street punk. Like,
what were some of the bands that were
in Santa Clarita?
Yeah, in Santa Clarita.
Well, the most famous is Infest. They're a Santa Clarita band.
Legendary.
But at that time, my friends played in this band called Attributes.
Attributes.
There was that band Vamakara.
Yeah.
I fucking hate Alex. He's not in that band anymore. He's the oldest vocalist. He's such a piece of shit. Fuck you, Alex, if you ever hear this. He was like my childhood bully. But
Shots
no, a dick.
He's a dick. Yeah, I do not fuck with that kid. Was that the cat?
The cat's talking up a hairball.
Oh,
you
nice.
Got the Cro-Mag record. Is that original?
No, that one's not.
That's a reissue.
We have tons of original punk and hardcore though. But yeah, I think there was like just bands like that, kind of like just straight beat down hardcore. We'd always go to like I also grew up with friends who were in punk. Like, my first show I ever went to that was like punk was like Circle One, and this band from Santa Clarita called The Dips, which was like
that's sick.
Yeah.
Very punk.
Yeah. Very punk. Yeah. So that was my first show, and then my cousin, who is like my best friend, is also played in bands. They're in Freakies with me, and
sick.
Yeah.
Well, that's super
you.
Sick.
Yeah.
And they sing an ad voice.
They sing an ad voice for every band together.
Yeah. I wish like any of my family members even like Project Pat at least or something.
Yeah.
My family was super basic.
No, yeah. That's like how our family is too. Like, Gabby is the only person in my family that like we've ever like, I took them to their first show, and it was
you like, taught them well. I love playing in a band with Gabby.
Yeah,
you're their old head.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're in Soto Youth.
Yeah, they're in Soto
Youth. Oh, damn, family
affair.
Yeah. We're a family affair.
Yeah.
Family band. And then Ian who
Ian
also
too
was
in Freakies.
Yeah.
It's called the Soto Youth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does Soto mean?
Pseudo. So, Pseudo Youth is, we got the name from...
Gabby came up with the name because they had
Gabby was up in the Bay.
They bought a Napalm Death it was like a demo. But on the demo record, it was spelled like S-E-U-D-O. So like,
and we rocked with that name pretty hard because
it's a hard name.
But none of us are young anymore. But we're doing young people shit.
Yeah.
So we called ourselves pseudo youth, like fake youth.
Yeah. I'm 21, so I need to start it. Like, I want to do a band as youth.
Yeah.
But like, just for like right now, not like.
Yeah.
You ever heard of the band X Youth?
I think so.
It's a guy from Ceremony, Anthony. He had a band called XU. So it was like his straight, like his love letter to straight edge hardcore. But like he had to spell it EX because at the time he was like older.
Oh, yeah.
So it would have been hard if it was just like XU. But he had to I think he put EX youth, like old youth.
You know? That's really cool.
Sounds like he's accepted his that he's old now. We're still trying to convince ourselves that we're still younger people.
It's scary. I'm like, I felt like I was like 17 yesterday, and now I'm like 21.
Aging gets faster.
Well, because we're not even technically old heads.
No, you're not old.
Yeah. We're not old, but like I always make the joke now. I kind of have a humorous approach to aging in hardcore. I just already called myself an old head.
Yeah. I mean, you're old in punk.
I'm old in punk, too.
Yeah. But, like, you're not, like, old in hindsight.
Yeah.
You're very young in hindsight.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's crazy because the newer scene that we've been playing a lot with as of lately in Orange County, a lot of those kids are, like, fuck, they're not even old enough to go to the 21-plus shows. They're, like, 18, 19 years old.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, like,
doing that stuff so young.
Mr. Radical, Beach Waste, all the newer wave of Southern California bands that we kind of, I think it started with, like, last year, I, like, saw some video on Instagram of this band called Mr. Radical, and I was like, what kind of fucking name is that? I was like, damn.
I was like,
that's such a crazy name, and I see this video of them, like, playing at this park, and there's like 200 kids there just fucking circle pitting and just like going insane, and then there's like all these cop cars with their sirens on with the fucking intercom like, shut the music off, get out of here, and they're still playing going ape shit like nobody gives a fuck, and like there's like kids throwing cans at the fucking cop cars and like they just didn't give a fuck and they just kept playing. I remember sharing that video, I remember posting it online and like sharing it with all my homies, like, dude, look at this shit. These kids are like fucking popping off, and it's like in Orange County, all places, and it's just like there's no like sketchy shit going on, there's no like fucking BS, no drama.
It's like organic.
It's just organic, like crazy shit. And it's like we started tapping in with these kids and just being like, yo, I just remember all I did was I was just like, fuck yeah. I replied, I was like, yo, sick ass shit, bro. And eventually like they hit us up to play one of their like little skate park shows, and we were like, damn, bro. Yeah. We're getting asked to play with the little homies.
We saw them at that show we're talking about earlier that was the worst pseudo youth show. Like,
oh, yeah. We played this really shitty show together, and they just, like, blew my mind. It was a three-piece.
Yeah, and they played before us, and I just remember being like, fuck, like, they're so good. Like,
we're fast and crazy, like, but, like, yeah, those kids fucking destroyed
us. They're just doing the craziest jumps, and, like, they're just crazy, man.
Vaughn,
yeah, so fun to watch.
Vaughn, Andrew, Andre, like, some of the, like, most like energetic, raw, like spirit I've ever seen with anybody in hardcore. Like
so much heart. It's just like very cool to see.
It's inspiring to us too, because like that was like shit. That's how we felt when we were like that age too. It's like going fucking crazy and shit, and then like also like slamming for every band and shit. Like remember like when you're younger, like you just go fucking ape shit for like whatever band's playing. Like me nowadays, it's like fuck, dude. I can't remember the last time I slammed. The last time I slammed was in Tokyo.
Yeah,
for Kagami's set.
There's times where I'm like, I just want to mosh. And then, like, it's, like, whatever, like, band that kind of could play that.
Yeah.
I think, like, Grand Witch played, they're, like, a death metal band from the Valley.
Uh-huh.
It's really, like, death metal, but I was, like, heart, like, you know, like, spin kicking to, like, a death metal band, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, like, crazy, but, like, I get that.
Yeah, those kids are awesome. I'm stoked. I think now it's just like, I think the two scenes have like kind of blended together, and I think we're getting like, they still have their scene. Like they do like, they'll do like a lot of backyard shows or like skate park shows. And then like they keep it like pretty chill. It's like they regulate well. There's not like a whole lot of drama.
Yeah,
there's not like a whole lot of bullshit. Like, and it's just like,
it's cool that you guys are not like bitter about it. Like, I'm not going to name, but like, I've been to other scenes where it's like, the old heads are like, oh
yeah.
I think that's like, earlier when you were saying you had something to prove, like with Gun, like how you felt like.
Yeah,
you
know, because I felt like old heads never put on for us. Or never.
For like my bands too. And I feel like like, just going through that, it's kind of like, dude, fuck that. Like, yeah. You gotta, like, ride for these kids, because it's, like, this shit's gonna die out if, like, you're just, like...
Yeah. Well, that was
your back and like,
well, that was a problem in Orange County for a really long time too, is just like a lot of people had either moved, like they left, or they like moved to like LA and kind of just were more involved with the scene up here. But the scene up here in 2015, 2016, like that whole era, I was up here for that too. Like I
the
was
East 7th era?
I was there for the East 7th era. I think I was there for like one of the first shows. Sure. I was White Wards, which eventually became Gag. Condominium from New York City, and Doses.
Sure.
Yeah, and that was like one of the first, I think one of the first E7 shows. I actually had to get a ride from who was it? I can't remember now, but I think it was either like Kevin Lopez or like, I think it was like Kenny or something. I got a ride from like somebody I'd never fucking met before, and they were just like, I was like, hey man, can you give me a ride back to like, I was like, where do you live? He's like, I live in Long Beach. I was like, I guess I'll get a ride back to Long Beach because it's way better than fucking...
taking a train.
Yeah, yeah, they're fucking chilling there. But then there's other times where, like, I'd have no ride. And, like, Austin from E7th and, like, all the people there, like, you could just crash on the couch, you know? Just, like, figure it out in the morning. You know, they were always, you know, helpful and shit. But, yeah, it was, like, I feel like at that period of time, like, Orange County was really, like, it was very just, like... a whole lot of bullshit and like not a lot of the people that were playing in bands before kind of putting on for like younger homies. So I think now we always try to make it like a little bit easier for the younger heads to kind of like pop in and everything. Yeah. And play shows. And I think that now is like way cooler because now it's like, you know, you see all those kids, you see like those younger heads like playing shows with us now, and it's just like, I don't know. It just seems like a little bit more unity. You know, they still got their shit going on. And honestly, it's like, it's fucking crazy what that got going on.
You don't need to pull up to the background show, but when it comes, like, you play together.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, but like sometimes we'll pull up and do their shows too, just to like show love and everything.
Our favorite
and it's
shows
like,
have been like
some of our favorite shows.
Like, they're fucking killing it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Good people. They're definitely.
I don't know if it's a couple or the kid from Mr. Radical does pins.
Oh yeah.
Pulse Check Distro.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Both of them, yeah. It's
that's sick. Like the actual like
Yeah, they're just
like,
putting
they're
in
living
work.
It, you know? Yeah.
Nah,
yeah.
They're just putting in work and I really fuck with that.
Yeah.
I always tell them, I'm like, nah man, we're the ones that wanna fucking play with you.
Yeah.
It's like you guys are fucking killing it. So I don't know. I guess catch more of those bands playing our shows and vice versa. We'll be rocking with them, you know. There's never any bullshit or anything or any drama or any, like, weird shit. So it's, like, why not, you know what I mean? Good shows, good energy. It's fun because, like, I feel like we got a nice mix of, like, playing, like, L.A. and Orange County.
Yep. Yeah, I know. Everyone says we're, like, an Orange County band, and I'm, like... there's only one of us
from Orange County, it's like a weird not a secret because I always tell these kids, I'm like, yeah, yo, we're not from Orange County.
Yeah.
But I don't even live there anymore. Yeah,
it's an honor to be considered like that they think we're from the OC because that scene is so popping. It's like the most popping scene I feel like right now out here.
It's a long time coming.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming. It used to be a whole lot of bullshit. So it's happy. I'm happy to see what it is right now. There's a lot of good bands from out there. But also in Southern California in general, it's like LA is also insanely popping right now. I'm very stoked that Town Square is setting up.
Yeah, me too. I don't have to go all the way to the Valley.
Yeah,
oh, I know, right? Yeah, yeah.
I live like not far from there, so like I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, and also it's like $10 sometimes. I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay $25, $20. Like, I mean, there's some shows I'm like, okay, it has to happen, but I'm like, I don't want, like, it's like, I just want to pull up sometimes, get some 3-4 good bands,
totally.
And just
yeah.
go home.
It's a cool spot, too. I
well, Tokyo's on the street, so you gotta go underground.
Yeah.
You gotta go underground, you get a record. No. You gotta get ramen or sushi or pho, and then you go get go to a record store, then you get an ice cream, and then you chill. And then go to a show.
Yep. I think that's literally what we did.
We did that the other day.
That's like, I live for that. That's all I care.
We went and bought, like, we went to Little Tokyo and we looked for weird bootleg Dragon Ball Z figures because that's been our obsession lately. Got ramen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the show.
Yep.
Great.
It was fun.
And we went to Going Underground too. Popped in, so I'll say what's up to Adam, you know?
Shout out Adam Schwartz.
Shout out Adam Schwartz, another... Laugh Now, Die Later alumni.
I think we talked about it the other day, and I'm like, dude, the only podcast has brought you Scott Vogel from Terror and Sean Lim.
Dude, the Sean Lim episode is great too. I actually listened to the Ron episode too.
I love Ron.
Dude, yeah. Ron is a great dude.
Ron is shout out to Ron. He's
absolutely.
He's Ron. I was like, I just want to hug you, man. Like, you know, just like
I was telling her this. Yeah, we were actually listening to the Ron episode driving down the coast yesterday from up north.
Yeah,
we turned on the Ron episode for a minute. I loved his. I love the piece talking about growing up Paisa in San Bernardino and going in the British invasion. That's like shit that would happen that was happening like right before I got into punk. I remember being I went to a school in Centennial High School in Riverside.
Yeah.
Only like 1 or 2 years, and all the street punks were like, dude, there was a fucking riot.
Yeah,
it's crazy shit.
I guess I'm curious to ask. Since you guys are like coming from like, you know, cop parents and like more traditional, like, you know, I guess traditional households, mm-hmm. when touring, since you guys, you guys both toured obviously with your previous bands.
Yeah.
How was that like feeling like, like I'm touring, and like, it's like, you know, like kind of doing like not doing the traditional
shit.
Just like chilling at home, saving money. It's like, nah, I'm gonna waste my last $20 to go to the show or something.
Yeah.
Like, did that ever play a role in, like, man, I'm like, I feel like a failure, or I feel like I'm not doing the right thing. I feel like that sometimes. So
I feel like
it's not hard to feel like that, because it's like, in this day and age, it's like everything costs a fucking arm and a leg. Yeah. Yeah. You're sacrificing a whole lot, and then it's just like, then you're starving the next day. You don't got fucking food to eat.
Yeah. Because
you spent fucking you spent $40 going to the show, and you got to fucking get a beer, you got to get gas, you got to get something.
The band was good. I bought a shirt.
You bought it was good. Yeah. So it's like, that's not hard to feel like that.
No,
but
it's like, I think like growing up, like my mom was definitely like pushing like that I go to college and all this. And
did you go to college?
No.
Oh,
no.
Did you go?
I took film classes at OCC, and then I just dropped out. It wasn't for me.
Yeah. And I think that like after a while she realized like, why am I shouldn't push this still, because she's not going to fucking college.
That's
like,
it's funny because like I actually dropped out of college to go on tour for the first time, believe it or not.
With the old band?
Yeah, my first band. We did a tour through Texas. I've been going on tour since 2017. It was like within like the first like 5 months of me playing music, I was like, all right, how do we go anywhere?
Going tour is the best.
It's the best. Right. It's my favorite thing in the world. Like,
I can't imagine when you're playing, because I've gone tour with like not me playing, like just with the, I'm like, I can't imagine, like,
I play some cool places and some shitty places. Mostly shitty places.
Yeah. I mean, I just like be like, fuck yeah, I play like, I don't know, like some random fucking state or some random city in a random state. Yeah.
The first Freaky's tour was kind of, was it the first and only?
Yeah, we do like bay runs after that, but like first time we went to like Seattle and back, and it was fucking rough, but it was so much fun.
Why?
It was just like, I remember on the way up, I think our show in Seattle, they like were like, yo, like something's up with the venue, like we're gonna have to cancel the show, and we're like, are you fucking kidding?
Yeah, the worst
like,
nightmare.
We've been playing this for months and months and months, and like we're like, man, like what the hell, like that's like our end goal. And then I think there was another show that dropped for the same reason. But then it was cool, because then it's like we just stayed in this house. I think it was like Nick Normal's house.
Nick Normal from Portland?
From Portland. We stayed in Portland for like a week, just because like our Seattle date like fell through, and I think our Olympia date fell through. So we were just like, fuck it. Like,
gives
we're
you just, a good reason
we're just
to
staying
just post
in Olympia.
Up and
yeah,
for a minute.
We just posted
yeah.
up, and it was like very cool. But touring is a lot of fun.
Touring's
and,
best.
Yeah, and then it's like crazy, because it's like, you know, like fucking, it took him to Japan. Like that was
crazy.
That's insane.
Oh. The People's Temple Japanese tour was.
Who's
the
People's
insane.
Temple?
So People's Temple is myself. I sing.
And
I sing
me, myself, and I.
Yeah,
myself
and I.
Yeah, I wrote all that shit. No, just joking. It's I'm on vocals. Jack plays guitar. Jack is also in two great bands called Fuckin' Lovers and Flower. Fuckin' Lovers is originally from Florida, and then they moved to Philadelphia. It's like it's like crazy like Japanese noisecore shit. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like really, really sick shit. Cody Cox from Glue and Impalers, originally from Texas, moved to New York City. And then Noel, who's
what did he do in Glue?
He played guitar in Glue. He wrote the Glue intro.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're in a band with the glue intro.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll be at practice sometimes. And like,
you were the glue intro?
Well, sometimes Jack will just be like, Cody's just like, can you stop? Or it's whenever he picks up the guitar, we're like, yo, do it real quick. Do it real quick. And he's like, bro, fuck off. And then last but not least, Noel, my old roommate in New York City. He plays the bass. He also is in Lathe of Heaven from New York City. They're actually on Sacred Bones.
The front person of Dollhouse?
No, it's... yeah, Michelle from Dollhouse is not in People's Temple. Michelle's in Dollhouse.
No, Lathe of Heaven.
Oh, Lathe of Heaven. No, Gage, I think Gage is only in... I think they're like only all in Lathe of Heaven. I think that's the only bands other than People's Temple. But,
I'm curious to know, how did People's Temple get in Japan? Like, I feel like it was like...
It's weird, huh?
So, from what my understanding is, in Japan, if they fuck with you, they ask you, it's not like you, like,
it was a little, them, right? It was a little bit of both. So, the EP had kind of, like, made some pretty nice waves. Honestly, I wasn't really expecting it to be, like, huge. The second one, I'm with the People's Temple. That had dropped, and I had kind of... was in contact with Kohei, who booked the tour. Kohei plays in Kagami and Umbro, two really sick bands out in Japan right now. Kohei is originally, I think, I'm not entirely sure where exactly he's from, but he lived in DC for like a hot minute, and he played in bands like Combat and Rashomon.
I'm gonna sound super corny for saying this, but is his IG a wave punk?
Yeah.
That's how
I know people too, trust me. Yeah. There's people where I'm like, there's like homies that I don't even know their names.
Yeah, you just
I met them like, I'm like, yo, what's good, Ripper's Gnar? Like, people you didn't even know who my name was, when first met. You're like, you thought my name was Randy.
Yeah.
Actually, I was about to be like, Randy. I was like, no, it's Tony.
Tony, yeah. So the People's Temple Japan tour started with just like, I think like we were just exchanging like DMs, we're just chatting, and like he had mentioned that he liked the People's Temple EP and I was a huge fan of Kagami, and we kind of just like talked about it, and then I was like, yo man, like it would be really cool to like just literally just throwing Hail Marys, just like I was like, hey man, it'd be really cool to play Japan one day, and he's like, fuck it, dude, let's do it. He's like, let's just fucking do this shit. And you know, I can't guarantee that you'll make any money, but like, fuck it, let's go out there and do it. Play Japan. And
That's like, to me, that's ultimate goal. Like, play Japan.
It was my ultimate goal too, honestly. It was like,
just never do anything again.
Just disappear. All right, I did it.
Just disappear. Just delete your Instagram.
Yeah, just delete everything. Yeah,
go live in the woods.
Yeah. Straight up. It was in the past, like the way my older homies were like, you were invited, you were formally invited, and it's like there's some truth to like how like the old way of like booking bands was like. I think like back in the day it was like mostly just, I don't know, I think it was like mostly just ran by like Yakuza and shit, and like they would fly you out here, and they had to like know that you were going to at least pull enough money for them to like
have like more than one record out.
Yeah, you got to have like more than one LP out, which is funny because we only have like fucking 12 songs out in total. Yeah, and it was like, yeah, we got a lot of that. I remember motherfuckers were just like, fuck these fools.
Oh, really?
Maybe a couple on the internet, but like,
I mean,
like people were just like, you guys were ass, like no disrespect, but like. And it's like, honestly, I'm surprised too. I'm surprised they asked us too. But I think that like the old way of like doing shit is like kind of not as much like anymore.
I think it's got to be unique from what I see. A lot of the bands that tour Japan's like very like very heavily like,
you have to be branded. Performative.
Yeah,
too,
yeah. You got to just be like, I don't know. You just got to fuck with you. Yeah,
you got to be lit.
And Kohei really fucked with us. We booked it about like a year in advance, and then Jack and Kohei kind of put all the little details together. They did a really good job like setting it all up. We ended up playing like 10 shows, I think, in Japan. It was nuts, and it was like a crazy fucking tour schedule. It was like Yokohama, Tokyo, Nagoya, like Osaka, Shizuoka, and then like back to Tokyo, and like we did like a big old loop around. And
you went, right?
Yeah.
It was like crazy. Like, all the homies came. Everyone was like, everyone bought tickets. Like, cause it was like, we booked it like a year in advance.
Tony's brother came.
Yeah, my little brother came, filmed everything.
It's like a family
affair. It was a family affair. It was so awesome. And it was like, it was fucking weird. Like we were posting up, like kicking it with like, we went to Revenge Records. And we were like kicking it with like fucking like Jackie from Frompted and all these like crazy ass Japanese bands. Like I was like, damn, these motherfuckers are crazy. And like, here I am like meeting these people. I was like kind of starstruck. We went to like that one record store and the dude from Gauze was working like just nonchalantly. And I was just like, bro,
so hard.
I was like, bro, like Gauze artwork was all hung up. But like, they're all putting respect on my brother's name just because he's like 19, 20 year old like white kid just getting fucking lit every night. He's like, just because he can drink there. He's just drink because he can drink there. So he's just pounding strong zeros, like fucking slamming people and like crowd killing in this like completely different country. Everyone's like, I remember just being like, yo, you gotta chill. But everyone's like, my little brother's name is Brody. They're like, Brody, legend. Everyone's like, Brody, like everyone in Japan. What's Brody's Instagram? Brody doesn't have one, bro.
Oh, he doesn't.
He's off the grid, bro. But yeah.
Like, he's off the grid.
He's off the grid.
That's lit for a 20-year-old to be off the grid.
I know, straight up. Yeah, it was a really special experience. It's crazy. Like, I think nowadays Japan is like a little bit more, it's like America. Like, they just more like chill. Yeah, they just want bands to come out and play. You know, they just want people to like come turn up, and it's like, don't go expecting like a fucking ton of money. Like, go out there to fucking play some of the best shows you've ever played in your life.
Paid,
like,
paid vacation? Not even paid. No, just go have a fucking vacation.
Dude, play some shows. I did not make any money back from that tour, but no, I like, fucking dropped.
Like you'll go to places on the count of your band playing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
straight up.
Not like you'll make money, but like, yeah.
It was, no, exactly.
Like, you're going to Tokyo and then you're going to this other part and you're going to go and...
Yeah. You get to go see Japan, man. You get to go meet people, and like, you get like little. There was like weird, like we would get passes. Like, we weren't just like foreigners, or like we weren't like tourists. Like,
you're touring for people's time.
People were putting respect on like the whole crew. People were like, people were giving us like, they were treating us very kindly. And honestly, everybody that we met in Japan, from just like people we meet like on the train, or like people that we meet from stores, like, everyone was so hospitable, so kind. And it's like, honestly, like, after touring America for like 5 straight years, and then that was like the first place I ever gone overseas, like, that was fucking insane. Like, that was just like, everyone was just so appreciative, and like, it's a very different vibe from like being in America on tour.
It was being in Orange County, America.
Straight up, dude. It's a when you're in fucking Orange County's control, it's a completely different life. We had a lot of fun.
So much fun.
I think our plan is to go back next year. I think the plan is to
go visit.
I think we're actually gonna go play. I think Gunn and Pseudo Youth are gonna try to make their way out there. Yeah, in December of next year. By then, both records will be out.
New Gunn LP? Is that a thing?
Yeah, new Gunn LP.
We're saying it's like not going to come up.
Yeah.
No, it's like a myth, the Gunn LP.
The Gunn LP is a long way to think, because we wrote a lot of those songs in like 2020. A lot of those songs were like old, and then we ended up just putting them on a tape, and then we toured the East Coast with People's Temple. And that was insane, because it was like double duty. It was like playing guitar and then like singing, and then it was like, it was also like a fucking 100 degrees and like the humid East Coast summer is rough. But we ended up coming home. I moved back and we wrote more. And it's fucking recorded. It's mixed. It's in the process of being mastering.
So it's the same songs, but now recorded or rewrote, or
it's,
or just rewrote.
I think it's 19 songs. I think no, it's not, it's less than that. It's like 18
songs.
It's like 17-18 songs.
17 some, songs on a
some old, some old, some new.
Damn, 17
like,
songs.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Is it like,
and it's mad,
like 30-second song? Is like, or each song is like 2 minutes?
It's a 30-minute record.
What the fuck?
Which is insane for me, because I've never done that. And
that's full, actually kind of wild.
There's actually going to be some crazy shit on it. Like,
and the Pseudo Youth LP, when is that coming?
I think
sooner than that. It's that one is also
announced? No, right?
I'll announce it right now. Fuck it. Or do you want to announce it?
You can announce it.
All right. Yo, what's up? Pseudo Youth LP. Nobody gets down like... Is that what it's called? Nobody gets down like Pseudo Youth out on Going Underground Records soon.
Sick. Yeah. On Going Underground Records.
Yeah. Sick. Same as the Gun LP record. I don't have a name for that one yet, to be completely honest.
Self-titled.
The Gun titled self-LP, self-titled LP out on Going Underground soon. It's going to have crazy-ass fucking songs. Fast songs, slow songs. It's gonna have all the crazy essentials that make a Gun album a Gun album. Samples, shit. We even fucking recorded a reggae dub track.
That's sick. You know how you said you guys were trying to like the Gun started because you guys want to prove something for yourself. I don't even call it like who else but Gun.
Who else but Gun.
That's pretty
honestly.
Good.
Kind of like the Quagmire. Who else but Quagmire?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. That'd be funny.
All right. Well,
I'll just make a shirt or something.
You know what, guys? If you guys are hearing this, my bandmates, they probably aren't. But these motherfuckers, like, these guys hate hearing me talk.
It's like we're an hour in, so they're probably like, they're already talking like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly how it goes.
Is Attaboy still active?
Yeah. Attaboys are active. We kind of like all just slowed down a little bit. So it's like Attaboys is literally just Pseudo Youth, but Tony instead of Duke. It's like the same people. So it's like we've just been all kind of focused on Pseudo Youth right now. And Duke also has some bands that he's
Lamictal.
Lamictal,
Animated Violence.
He was in Gugon.
Gugon. Shoutouts to all the bands Duke is in.
Duke is a fucking
you crazy,
monster. He's so good.
Crazy man.
He's the best. But Advoid's also just recorded, almost 6 months
ago. We all got recordings on deck.
We're just kind of sitting on them. We just got that stuff like mastered and mixed and all that. So
Is it gonna be released on a LP or EP or
probably be an EP.
A seven inch.
Yeah. But I'm pretty stoked for it.
And Pseudo Youth is impressed right now, or
Pseudo Youth is it's actually waiting to get mastered. So let's say it'll be out
next year.
Yo, Ronnie, you might be hearing this, you might not. So sorry we're lagging on the Pseudo Youth LP. Extra sorry we're lagging on the Gun LP. But I promise you those will be in your hands soon. And
what's left for the Gun LP?
What's left for the Gun LP? I think we just have to master it. Same thing.
Why are you not mastering it?
We're just waiting on some people. Mixing is such a tedious, long process, especially who we're mixing.
Especially on a 30 song.
It's a long thing, and there's a lot of samples.
Is Pseudo Youth LP or EP?
Pseudo Youth is an LP as well. It's a debut LP. Yeah. It's a debuted LP, which
and the demo's like demo recording. It's not
those
even
are
like,
just like rehearsals.
Those are actually just rehearsals. Like, yeah, we weren't even trying to release those.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
So, basically, like, so Advoids went on tour
last year,
and we were like, yo, fuck it, like it's the same people, and like I'm bringing Tony, so like we might as well just do like.
We're a tour package now. I think you can't tour without each other. Some of our bands might hate it, but
but whatever. I guess like we're just like, hey, fuck it, like we'll do like some Pseudo Youth shows too. And so like
we actually played our first show in Olympia. Olympia, Washington. It's a show like I booked on the fly for everybody. Yeah. It was like, but we also Advoids did like a string of shows with Snooper up north, and yeah, we ended up just hopping. Well, Snooper was like, yo, can you book our Olympia show? And I was like, I don't even fucking live in Olympia. But sure. I ended up getting a sick show.
Oh, we got zoomies.
Gomez got zoomies. What's up, Gomez? But we ended up playing in Olympia as our first show. We recorded those tapes, honestly, just to sustain ourselves
something
with gas money.
Yeah.
and that's how the Pseudo Youth rehearsal tape kind of came to be.
Yeah.
It was supposed to just be a tape, and then if somebody's fucked with it, maybe they would put it on YouTube, but then the more and more we listened back to them, we're like, oh, fuck it, let's just put it up. You know, it's better, and surprisingly, more of the people I thought turned it, like, listened to it, so...
Yeah, I didn't think anyone would listen to it, so it was cool that people fucked with that a little bit.
More demo recordings out there.
Yeah, I kind of
fuck with that. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, the LP sounds, like, totally wild.
It's
like
crazy.
That in 4K, man. It sounds Same. Great. Sounds
yeah.
great.
I'll have to send it to you to
yeah,
listen.
Yeah,
it's honestly some of the proudest I've ever been.
Is there like sing-along parts?
Oh yeah.
I'll sing along when there's yeah. like, it was like, we're like, what? Like, yeah. How do you know that?
There's actually gonna be some backup vocals in there too. So,
what does it sound like? I mean, I heard the demo recording, but I can't really be like, yo, this is like,
what I feel like.
What are our biggest influences?
Sin 34. There's a lot of, I would say kind of like some Youth Crew elements.
Some Youth Crew elements in there. We're kind of drifting.
Sido Youth Crew.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to think of what else.
I think we fuck with like a lot of like, what, like Rest in Pieces, Youth of Today. Oh, okay. Youth of Today, but then also there's like Sin 34 vibes, like also like Battalion of Saints. It's all over the place.
So it's like hardcore punk with like demo core.
Yeah, yeah, hardcore punk with demo core, and it all kind of comes together really well. Ian, our drummer, is insane. He's the glue that keeps that shit together. He's
crazy.
Unbelievably good drummer. Playing with him is like one of the craziest things like ever. Like, I remember the first practice we pulled up, because, you know, I don't even remember how we started, but I think we were just like, I was like, yo, do you want to like come in and jam with us before Advoid's practice? And I just came in, and I had never even fucking met Ian. I was just like, what's up, dude, you play fast? And he's like, yeah, I fucking play fast. And I was like, all right. Yeah, like thinking like, all right, bro, everybody says that. Yeah. And I fucking, I pull out this one riff, and within like immediately this dude's just like, and just hits this
the craziest
crazy fill, and I was just like, oh fuck.
I don't think I'm fast enough.
The rest, I didn't think I was fast enough. The rest was history.
It's like I've literally only drummed with, like, I'll never drum with, like, or have another drummer play in a band with me, like, ever again. He is just like,
I trust that man with my life.
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah, he's a great drummer.
So to wrap this up, anything else you want to say? I mean, yes, plugged in. There's Advoids.
We plug.
Pseudo Youth. There's Gun.
Advoids. Pseudo Youth. Gun. SoCalPunks.net.
Oh yeah.
There's .net too. No, too.
Yeah. There's .net. So yeah, OCPunks.net. Everybody thinks it's like a website or a booking. It's just the Gun page. Yeah. But we started a booking label. We book in Long Beach at Supply and Demand. I don't know if you've ever heard. You've been to Supply and Demand, no? Yeah, Supply and Demand.
I've never been there, but
yeah,
you know what?
21+.
It's a 21+ bar. You know, it might not be the fucking coolest stage, but you know what? Fuck it, man. Pull up. We book there. Hit us up if you want to play a show. We'll make that shit fucking crack, bro. We'll probably put Pseudo Youth or Advoids on too to play with you guys. Help me out, help me get a job. You know, I'm trying to get on the Supply and Demand payroll.
You know how much?
I have a job, but I want a job in the music industry.
Yeah. I want to be a music guy.
I want to be a music guy. So help me out, hit me up, let's book a show, tap in. Let's go, let's work.
There you go.
Let's
I'm work. 21 so I can play there now.
Oh, yeah. You know what? No. See, there you go.
There you go.
You can rock with us. You can rock with all of us. Hit me up at SoCalPunks.net booking. On Instagram. Booking. Wait, let me do that one over again. Hit me up on SoCalPunks.net booking at gmail.com.
Get your band lit today.
Get your band lit today. Let's work. Also, the Gun LP, I promise you folks, it will be out soon. The Pseudo Youth LP, Nobody Gets Down Like Pseudo Youth, out on Going Underground's records, let's say this summer.
This is sponsored by Going Underground. this whole podcast is sponsored by, it's being paid by Going Underground. They're paying me to interview Tony. They're paying Tony to say all this stuff. So
yeah, thanks. You guys are paying my rent, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Every time it says Going Underground, it's like
Going Underground, rack. Going Underground, going underground, going underground. That's 4 or 5 racks right there.
You want another rack?
Going Underground, baby. Let's rock.
Six racks.
All right. Shout outs to all my friends. Shout outs to all my favorite bands. Shout outs to Rolex. Shout outs to SoCal's Parishioners. Shout outs to Mr. Radical. Shout outs to Beachways. Shout outs to
Punk.
Shout outs to Punk. Shout outs to all my crazy punkers out there. Love you guys.
Anything else you want to say?
Thank you for having us. That's it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hey, one more rack.
Yeah. Going underground.